It is good to be back. We were gone. Angie went with me. Angie, wave. I want to tell you a little bit about the conference up there. One of the reasons that we still have that one, it's in Dayton, Ohio, which is centered in the, kind of the northeast quadrant there. It's a lot less driving for a lot of people than coming to the conference here. In fact, at one point, but when he said, how many is here from Canada? About half the congregation stood up. See, for them, it's a six-hour drive. From Tulsa, it's about a 14-hour drive. 14 if you're riding with me. I don't drive real fast. So it's really good for people to have a more regional place to come. Now, we'll tell you this. The emphasis of the, yes, sir. Okay. I wondered why. The emphasis of the Holy Spirit during the conference, especially the way it started off, the Lord's calling us deeper into worship. He wants more presence. And Jim's first message was about that and the first several. And then Tuesday night, the scheduled speaker was going to, of course, deliver his message. But is there such a thing as a spirit of worship? Let me just say it this way. The Holy Spirit came in with the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ that Tuesday night was not teaching. The mind of Christ Tuesday night was worship. And thank God we had people there that are mature enough not to follow the pre-planned agenda, but to follow Christ. And I'll be honest with you, I had a breakthrough myself. If Angie had a real washing that night, it was really, really good. And so, of course, we were both in that service. Well, then Wednesday night, if you weren't here Wednesday night, Nathan was scheduled to speak. Nathan was here. But, see, I was impressed with the maturity in somebody who is younger than my favorite cereal bowl. I tell him that all the time. He's about 30. And he thought I was teasing him. I said, Nathan, you do know that my favorite cereal bowl is older than you. He looks at me like, come on, you're kidding. I said, I'm not kidding. I had that bowl when Sue and I got married, and we've been married 40 years. But I was impressed, if that's okay, that in one so young, he chose to follow the leading of the Spirit rather than go on with the pre-planned, I don't know if it was planned, but whatever message he was going to deliver, he yielded over to the Holy Spirit. And to be honest with you, the atmosphere felt, especially at the beginning, felt so the same as the atmosphere that Tuesday night in Ohio, that Angie and I are looking at each other going, we've already been in this service. This is like deja vu all over again, And we just worshiped, and we worshiped during most of that service Wednesday night. And there was a lot of praying in tongues, of course, and in worship. Then the Lord began speaking through Nathan. And this is already at Pastor Dave's website, Dave Roberson. What is it? DaveRoberson.org in the prophecy section. They've already got this where you can, that's where I printed this. You can just print it out if you want to. And I've been going over this ever since Wednesday night. The Lord, there's pages of this that came through the lips of Nathan, but it's the mind of Christ. The very first one. And, we talk about the seven limbs, I can't list them all, the prayer of edification, fasting, worship, confession of the word, meditation of the word, so forth. Jim Martin kind of combines those into four limbs, okay, because confession of the word and meditation of the word, he just calls that the word. And I noticed that the Holy Spirit in these instructions gave us instruction and encouragement on virtually the whole message. It's like the mind of Christ was looking and he says, my children are getting tired. They're getting very tired. I'm not going to read this whole thing. It would be good, but I'm sure that message is available or will be soon at the website, plus the printed. But let me give you just a little bit of encouragement. This is so similar. Same Holy Spirit in Ohio saying the same things during that conference up there. So the first one, that came through Nathan Wednesday night here. He says, corporately and individually, the Lord is calling us deeper into his presence. So the very first thing he begins talking about here is worship. Individually and corporately. Yes, sir. See, Jim, they have, this is normal, not just during their conference, their normal service. They have a worship service like most churches do, and then they have the teaching and then ministry. But the Lord instructed Jim several years ago to also have a pre-worship worship service. It begins 45 minutes before the main worship service. And you come, and there's no live people like we have here just now. It's before that begins. You would come in like 45 minutes early, and it's recorded music, and they have the words up on the screen if you don't know the words. And the Lord instructed him to do that for those that were hungry for more. Well, we just made our mind up we were going to go to all those. We pretty well hit all of them, I think. And I was surprised the effect that it had on me. It was a very good effect. I've told you before, if Jim's four limbs were like on a table, see, I got some long legs on that table, and I got some short legs on that table. What do you mean? Well, prayer comes very easy for me. I can pray till the cows come home. It's just not hard for me. Maybe it's because of doing it in the trucks for so long. But boy, I can pray. You know, I mean, it's not hard for me. The Word, a lot of people have trouble getting in the Word. I love the Word. For me, that comes easy, okay? That may not be the long leg on, but I have two pretty long legs on my table. One of them is prayer and tongues, especially tongues. One of them is the Word. But I got two short legs on that table, too. One of them is the F word. Oh, no, fasting is what I'm talking about. Fasting. Family, right? One of them is fasting, and the other one is worship. Even though I love, y'all know I love the Lord, and I know I love the Lord. He knows I love him. But just to be honest, I've never had a singing voice for one thing. I'm not going to make excuses. There's no excuse. But just as the truth is, that's a short leg on my table. Now, here's a funny thing. We're family, right? I never in my wildest dreams would have thought that on my table, the fasting leg would be longer than the worship leg. But when Angie come to work, for the ministry here, she got me all excited about this Daniel fasting, and then we've done some, you know, water fast and juice fasting, a lot of it. So this year, I'd have to say, I never would have thought it, the fasting leg on my table is longer than the worship limb leg. So now the Lord's in Ohio and here. What he's instructing me to do is take that principle that he gave Jim about having a pre-worship worship. And he's telling me, now I'm not telling you, but this is just how I'm just sharing, family. He told Gary, I want you to have a pre-day worship service. I want you to schedule an extra 45 minutes before you do anything else every day. And spend that time in worship with me. Been doing it. Is it easy for you? No. But it's getting better. Because I've already had a couple of breakthroughs in my soul. I'm telling you, there's a line in that song they were singing, your spirit is like water. His presence, it's better than bread. It's better than water. It's better than money. It's better than anything. Now, at first it was like, you know how it is. Aren't intentions great? Man, I heard from God. I'm so excited. Yeah, I'm going into a new realm, and that's all great till the alarm clock goes off in the morning. Then the flesh goes, are you nuts? You need rest is what you need. Uh-huh. But I've had it. I tell you what, though, when you start breaking through and you get a little taste and your emotions begin to be washed, that changes everything. And you start looking forward to the next one now. So let me just read. I'm just going to kind of just I'm not going to read these whole things. I don't believe that's his mind for today. This is from Wednesday night. The first one, God's calling us deeper into his presence. Now just let him talk with you. He gave me instructions to help Gary do that. He'll give you instructions to help you. The second one, this is like a tongue and interpretation that came Wednesday night. It says, speak my word and build yourself up. I don't know if y'all remember earlier this year, the Lord had to send two ministers all the way from Germany here. And he gave a word. And it was God. Now, I'm just flat telling you, it was God. And part of that was a vision she saw of our sword. It's a good sword. She said, it's a good sword. She said, but our sword needs a cleansing. It still has residue from previous battles on it. She said, our sword needs a cleansing. And she said, I also see rust on that sword. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But I said, I had to say, yes, Lord. You're talking about me. Little by little, if you're not careful, your lips will start aligning with your circumstances. Pretty soon, you're just saying what is. You're not calling those things that be not as though they were anymore. You're not speaking his word out of your mouth. Now you're speaking the circumstances out of your mouth. We need a cleansing. So hear the Lord Wednesday night. Speak my word. He's reminding us again. Especially talking about sickness and pains. Fill your mouth with my words. Fill your mouth. Instructions from the head of the church. The third one that came says, this message of edification. How many knows what that is? This message of edification. Praying in the Spirit. Beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Amen. So the Lord has to say to us on a Wednesday night through a young man, this message works. That's what it says. This message of edification works. See, the enemy is completely, can I say, hell-bent on convincing you it doesn't work. And what does he use? Circumstances. What you can see. What you feel. What you hear. Look around. You know? Alan's message was right along that same line this morning. The enemy's always prophesying to you, but he's using your flesh and physical evidence. But God says to us, this message of edification works, and I gave it to you. How many of you are thankful for Pastor Dave? Can I say 30 years, relaying that foundation stone? I mean, the Holy Ghost had just been robbed from the church as far as, not they would sing about him, but wouldn't let him do anything, you know. And none of us knew how to be taught by him, hardly. And I thank God, you know, people would come to a conference and maybe they wouldn't see Dave for, you know, a whole year. And then they'd come to the next conference and waiting for the very next cutting edge revelation from God. And Dave says, open to Romans 8. We're going to talk about praying in other tongues. Why? That foundation had to be relayed in the church and in you individually and in me individually. So he's the Lord, through by his Spirit, counseling us. This works. Don't stop. The enemy wants you to stop. Don't stop. The next one says, the title they put on it is, obey me because you can. Now, the way we list them here, the seven pillars, if you'll allow me, one of them is co-laboring with the Holy Ghost. To me, that's obedience. Go where I say go, do what I say do, say what I say say, lay hands on this one, do this, do that, go here. And then the Lord says, Can I just read you the first sentence or two? He says, there has never been a time that I have given my instructions that I have not given my grace for you to listen. There has never been a time that I have spoken and I have asked you to do something that I have not provided everything needed to obey me. I am reminding many right now of the things that I have asked them to do, of the steps that have not been taken. For I have given you instructions. No, excuse me. For I never give you instructions that you cannot do. Pastor Dave recently, within the last 2 months, maybe three, right over in this area, he was standing right about there. And the Holy Spirit came on him and he says, many of you have not taken that last step that I asked you to do. And it's time for you to take that step. How many remember that? Cut through me like a hot knife through butter. And I've started examining what have you asked me to do that I have not done? Okay. So, and this is, I think this is a lot. No. There's two more. The next one says, the thing that he needs, the thing that God needs from us is our authority. Now, a big part of that is why he had to leave us in these earth suits. In order to have authority on the earth, you have to have a body from the earth. Many of us asked, I used to ask in the early days, for the love of God, get me out of here. If you love me, just take me on to heaven. Why are you leaving me in this place where there's sickness and sin and rape and torture and persecution? I mean, none of you ever prayed like that. But I was going, why don't you just take me out of here? And he finally got it across to me, because I couldn't use you if I did that. You only have authority here while you have a body here. Jesus himself. Now, he could do things. He could walk through walls. He could eat a fish. But if you'll notice, just look for yourself. He never healed one person after he had a body from heaven. After he had been raised from the dead and he had a glorified body no longer from this earth, he never healed one person, never cast out a devil. In order to have authority here, you have to have a body from here. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus had a body that's from here? Hello, body. And that's why he had to leave us here. And that's why he needs you to pray. You didn't get that. That's why he needs you to pray. Authorizing. Why do you think Jesus said, pray, Father, thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven? For that to have authority, you have to pray it from here with a body from here. Amen? To speak his word. See, for years I misquoted that last couple of verses. I think it's Psalms 103, whatever psalm it is. It's the one, I quoted it like this and it's wrong. I said, the angels hearken to your word. And I quoted it like that for years. One day the Holy Spirit arrested me and says, you're not quoting that verse correctly. I said, yeah, I am. Don't ever argue with the Holy Ghost. The one that inspired the word, he knows it, okay? So I had to go look it up. And you know what it says? You know, because the angels hearken to the voice of thy word. And the Holy Spirit gave me an instruction. He said, pick up your Bible. Hold it up to your ear. Do you hear any voice? And I went, no. He says, everybody has one of these laying on their coffee table. In America, you probably have 10 different versions, 10 copies in your house, right? They're full of power. They're full of, it's like, in engineering, we talk about potential energy and kinetic energy. Potential energy is like what's stored behind a dam. It's all that water, all that mass. Potential energy is there. But see, it doesn't become kinetic energy. It doesn't become active till you open the floodgates and let that water begin to flow. You can be full of the Word of God. You could have it memorized from Genesis to maps. But it's not effective in your life till you open the floodgate of your mouth and let it begin flowing out. That's where you start generating kinetic energy. And the angels I always have this picture. I'm not saying it's from the Holy Ghost. Every time I teach on this, I see a whole bunch of angels sitting around in heaven playing canasta. I don't even know how to play canasta. But my parents, they always played canasta when I was growing up, you know. It's a card game, okay? Played canasta. And I just had this picture of all these angels sitting around, nothing to do. They're just playing canasta, you know. And then suddenly, some little believer somewhere, they actually began speaking the word of God. And boy, when that happens, you ever seen one of those documentaries of a fire station? Maybe they're just cooking a meal and they're talking and they're cleaning their hoses. They're just doing nonchalant stuff, you know, till all of a sudden the fire bell goes off. Boy, I mean, then nothing else matters. But I mean, they're getting on their suits and sliding down the pole and getting on that truck. That's the way I saw these angels, cards flying everywhere. My goodness, somebody's actually beginning to do this. We're going to hearken to the voice of His Word. They're giving voice to the Word of God. And that's what the angels hearken to. Boy, that's good stuff. But He needs our authority. You've got to do it here. See, I'm going to start casting out devils as soon as I get to heaven. Nope, not going to be any there. I'm going to begin calling those things that be not as though they were when I get to heaven. The things that are the things you want there. If you're ever going to start doing that, you've got to do it now. I'm going to lay hands on the sick when I get to heaven. No, you're not. Not going to be any there. Won't be any sick people there. We got to wake up. Amen. Then the last one here. This one's a long one. And it says, revival is delivered line upon line, precept upon precept. And that so reminds me of Pastor Dave so many times. You know, we all want the roof questions. You know, we want the big answers, you know, like, why did Aunt Susie not get healed or something? You know, like, or they go to Revelations. You know, what are the three beasts? I don't, you know. Well, fine. He'll teach you anything. But we're trying, Dave would say, we're asking for this roof question, and we haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to lay the foundation and build the walls of revelation knowledge that will support that roof. And so the Holy Spirit's going, instead of being in such a rush, why don't you allow me to build, the way he put it, build revival in you, line upon line, precept upon precept. I recommend Wednesday night service to you. I recommend printing this out and let the Lord talk with you. See if he gives you some instructions like he's given me, you know. Amen? All right. You ready for the message now? I think he's going to let me go ahead and teach now. All right, I'll go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 2. Now, hold your place in Philippians and go to Matthew, the last chapter in Matthew, last verses in Matthew. This is the passage that I did a service in Dayton, Ohio on Wednesday night. If you want to, I'm sure the Lord will let me preach it here. But if you want to hear it ahead of time, it's at Jim Martin's website. You can look up Jim Martin Ministries or jmmgrace.org. And on his homepage, about halfway down on the left side, it has a link to all of the messages at the prayer conference. You click there, and he has 2 years, last year and this year. This year is on the right-hand side, about halfway down on a Wednesday night. I did a message titled Denying the Words of Jesus. It's a good one. I'm just telling you ahead of time, it's a good one. This passage right here was the launching pad for it. So if you haven't found the last chapter of Matthew by now, just look on with your neighbor. Matthew 28, and just pick it up in verse 18. Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, what I'm about to teach now is not at all related to that Wednesday night message. It's amazing to me how the Lord can just keep bringing revelation knowledge from such a short passage. I want you to focus today on the last couple of phrases. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In the Greek language, which was spoken at this time, Greek or Aramaic, it would have been easy for Jesus to use words that says, I will be with you. But he specifically chose a phrase that is very sacred to the Jews. He didn't say, I will be with you. He said, I am with you. Now, so you'll start getting the significance of that. Let's do this one. Go to John 18. This is when they were coming to arrest Jesus. Judas had betrayed him and he was bringing the soldiers. Jesus uses the exact two same Greek words here when he says, I am with you. The Greek words are, if I can, E-G-O space E-I-M-I. I don't know how to pronounce that. That's I am. I look at it in John 18, starting in verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. Now that's how it reads in your King James. Did you notice, though, that the he is in italics? That word is not really there. What did he really say to them? I am. And it's exactly the same words he used in Matthew. I am with you. Okay? When he said, so let's read it how he really said it. Then answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Excuse me. He says, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Just a little bit about who he really was escaped just for a moment. Just a little bit. I am. Go back to Exodus 3 just for a minute. See, this is, I am is something every Jew is very familiar with. Every Jew is very familiar with this. Way back when the children were in bondage to Pharaoh, and you got to remember, Moses stuttered, you know, because we all saw Charlton Heston. Let my people go, right? Right? But in truth, Dave did this one time. If Moses would have really been the one, see, it wasn't Moses that said it, it was his brother Aaron. God allowed Aaron to be the mouthpiece. Because if Moses would have said it, it would have been, go. You know, if Moses would have been willing to do it that way, God would have honored every word. He would have honored every word. But Moses was embarrassed to do it. He says, all right, I'll let Aaron be your mouthpiece, see. I'll let Aaron be your mouthpiece. But Moses is all nervous about it. And so Exodus 3, look at verses 13 and 14 here. So Moses said unto God, this is before he went to Pharaoh, and God's, this is at the burning bush, you know. Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I like when Dave talks about God and in eternity. You go, well, if we go back a billion years, he was there. Well, if you go back a billion, before that, He was there. You can never go back to a time when God was not. I am. Now what God's telling Moses is, look, I who am self-existing, I who have always been, I who have created everything, I am. He already got it. He sees the end of the message. I am going with you. So Moses, we got someone who's ahead of my message. He's already got the end of it. We're going to church today. Isn't that what Dave says? We're going to have church this morning. Hallelujah. So Moses went into battle with I am. Jesus knows, every Jew knows that story. He knows that. Yeah, there was another time, I thought I had this verse on here, but I didn't get it copied. It's in the Gospels too. You can look it up yourself. One time it's in John, and they were talking to Jesus, and it's during that discourse where he says, I am of my Father, and you are of your father, the devil. I am from above, you are from beneath. That whole discourse there. And at one point they say to him, you're not even 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? And he let it slip out again. Before Abraham was, I am. And of course they wanted to stone him because he was making himself out equal with God. Now that brings us now. I told you he was going to go to Philippians. Now we'll look at Philippians. See? Hallelujah. See, we're supposed to have this same mind in us. Philippians 2, starting in verse 5, says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now we're going to go a little deeper than we've been in the past with this. Okay, let me just read it first and we'll come back. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now let's stop right there for a moment. So my understanding of, you know, most of my Christian life has been, well, before he was made carnate, before he was made a man, we could go to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Everything was made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And at one point it said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. So, yeah, that's him. He was in the form of God before he was ever in the form of man. So that's where, who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But now notice, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Now notice, verse 6, he was being in the form of God. Verse 7, he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So that's after he was incarnated, after he's a man. Being found in fashion as a man now. Now notice, in fashion. He's more than a man. In fashion, in appearance, the vessel. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, and we could keep going. But now recently, how many of you know you're born of God? Boy, that was weak. I want to ask the internet, how many of you know that you're born of God? I hear a resounding amen, see. Thousands upon thousands, amen. But in your spirit, is your spirit made in the form of God? Nobody's saying nothing. I knew that's what would happen. Yes! See, what we don't realize, he was found in fashion as a man. And he was a man. As a human, he had to learn his ABCs, or his alphas and omegas. It was Greek. Okay. But that doesn't take away from the fact he was also God. So you're very similar to that right now. Why does it say, have this same mind in you? Because in your spirit, you're in the form of God. What if I said you're of the God class? What if I said you're God's family? What if I said to you, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree? What if I said he's righteous and you're righteous? What if I said he's holy and you're holy? Have this mind in you. You're of the family of God. In your spirit, you're of his form. Now, right now, on planet Earth, you're found in fashion as a human. But it doesn't change who you are in form. Is that okay? Am I saying that okay? Have this mind in you. I didn't get it for years because I was going, well, that's him before he was a man and it's after. I could only relate with after. But it wasn't until, thank God for Pastor Dave and the born again trail, began understanding, no, I have already been born again. I have already been born of his spirit. That's why it says, have this mind in you. You're of God's family. That's why we're told to set our affection on things above. That's home. That's where you're from. This world is not your home. Now, we're going to have a new earth one of these days. But trust me, this fallen thing is not your home. Thank God, Sue says. Amen with that. That's why it says, have this same mind in you that was in Christ Jesus. You are of the God class. You are a child of the living God. But right now, you're found in fashion as a human. And what he's wanting for us is that we have the same mind in us that Christ had in him. And that mind is obedience. Father, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will. Jesus came to the place, he says, I don't even consult my own will. I don't even consult it in the Amplified. I don't even, you know, there's a place like that. That doesn't mean it was always easy for him. I really thank God that the Bible is transparent enough, honest enough to show us his struggle in the garden. I mean, you don't get any more mature than Jesus. But I mean, you know, you don't get any more grown up, mature in the likeness of God than him. And he himself struggled. And it says, actually uses the word in agony, where great drops of sweat coming down off his brow. You know, it actually blood, the vessels got so, there's so much pressure, the little blood vessels began to break and they would come out of his sweat pores. That's why in Hebrews 12 that Alan read this morning, you haven't resisted yet unto blood. See, a lot of people have, anyway, I'm not talking about martyrs, that's a different thing. We're talking about resisting temptation to disobey unto blood like he did. My goodness. Back to Matthew. I'm going to read you one from Isaiah. You can look this one up later. I love this one talking about I am. Isaiah 44:6 says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer. So, got two people here, two individuals. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer. Who's that? Jesus. His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Well, what does he say? I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me, there is no God. Isaiah 44, verse 6. It's like, I can save you a lot of time. I'm already here. I have looked to the right. I have looked to the left. Those of you that are still making idols and bowing down to these gods, let me save you some time. I've looked, I'm here. I've looked to the right, I've looked to the left. Let me clue you in. I am, and there is no other God. There is no other God beside me. I am. And he got it a while ago. Jesus is saying, I'm sending you out. But I'm not sending you to go by yourself. I am. I am with you. The title of this is I am dash all capitals. I am. Say it with me. I am.
I am.
Like Charlton Heston. I am.
I am.
Dash. With you. What would that sound like? Every one of these disciples are Jewish at this point. There's no real converts yet. Every one of the, Gentile converts. What does that say to them? They know who I am is. Trust me. They know who I am is. You know what that translates in their ears? As he was with Moses, so he will be with me. This God of signs and wonders. The God that turned the Nile into blood. The God that did all of those 10 plagues. The God that provided water from the rock in the desert. The God that made manna. Rained manna, that's Rana. Rained manna, that's Rana. I am is going with you. Now what about your provision now, though? Well, I can't, God told me to go to such and such, and I don't have any money. You have something better than money. You have I am. You have I am. Well, the boat left and there's no boat for me to ride in. He says, take a step on that water. I am is going with you. Remember when Moses said that time, he says, God was saying, look, you just take them and you go on in. I'll send an angel with you. You remember that? I didn't look all this up. Moses says, unless your presence goes with me. Modern translation, I ain't a going. You either go with me or I'm not a going. Amen. Jesus is letting us know we don't have to worry about that. I am. He could have chosen. I looked it up. There's a lot of places where Jesus would say the words, I will go with you. But here he chose specifically these two words. That when it releases his power, the men fell backwards. The soldiers who didn't even believe in him. But there's so much power, it knocked them on their backsides. This one who, before Abraham was, I am. God. And he says, I'm going with you. And notice, you're back in Matthew 20, 28. Notice, I am with you always. Now notice, even unto the end of the world. Notice what it does not say. He does not say to the end of your life. This promise is way beyond the first apostles. He didn't say that just to them, did he? He said even to the end of the world. If you're going to take up the banner, if you're going to take up your cross and follow him, if you're going to find your place, do in the body whatever it is he tells you to do. Not only is I am going with you, but I am going with you to the end. And I'm going to go with the next generation. And I'm going to go with the next generation. And I'm going to continue this up to the end of the world. We don't know yet who we are. What if we actually did Philippians just for a moment? Go back to Philippians just for a moment. I know I'm taking you back and forth. I should have had you pinch it. I know it's pinch, but I like pinch. Sue says, that makes you sound hicky. Well, I've got it on like 1,000 tapes already. No point in changing now, you know. She's right. She wants me to look my best and sound my best. Like, got a good wife. Look at. So does it not say in verse 5, let this mind be in you? Let's let it be in us. So say it with me. I have the same mind in me that was in Christ Jesus. Because I am born again. My spirit is in the form of God. I am of God's family. I am born of God's Spirit. I don't count that to be robbery. To call God my Father. But while I'm on planet Earth, I'm making myself of no reputation. Right now I'm in the form of a servant. And right now I'm made in the likeness of men. So being found in fashion as a man or a woman, I humble myself. Father, I am obedient even unto death. Even the death of the cross if need be. But Father, I'm here to serve you. Not to build my own kingdom. But to serve you in your kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now listen, that's what he's looking for. People that humble themselves. See, ours is just a little different. We humble ourselves. How many know there's only one head of the church? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord. We are not. So the goal is to find his mind, his plan for your individual life. And the picture I always have, I used to be so jealous of the 12, you know. I'd say, they didn't have to guess every day what your mind was for them. They'd just walk up and ask you, you know, what do you want us to do today? And you could just pick things. I want you to go loose the colt. Go over there and have them loose the colt another time. Go rent that upper room over there. We're going to prepare. And I want you to take some, Judas, here, take some money to the poor today. I mean, they would just find out what it was. But and I was so jealous. I'd go, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do. And then thank God. We discovered Pastor Dave Roberson and found out that there was a way by the Holy Spirit that you could literally have the same connection, if you'll allow me, that same instruction from the mind of Christ. Only now I don't hear it from his physical lips to my physical ear. Now I get it by revelation of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost hasn't even come to be my Lord. It says he's not going to speak on his own accord. What he hears, that's what he speaks. Because what the problem has been so many times, because we tend to bypass that step. We're all human. Well, no, we're not. How does Alan say that? Our flesh is not us. Our flesh is part of what we're contending against. Your flesh wants to be Lord. You do know that. Even when it comes to your call. Your flesh wants to call all the shots. Listen to Alan's message this morning. It was a perfect lead-in to this. So where we've really missed it, it's like, all right, I got this. You want me to teach? Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to rent this hall over here, and I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to start doing that. And you, the great I am, you just follow along behind my plan, and you do everything. But I'm calling the shots here, and I'm deciding what I'm going to do, and when I'm going to do it, and how I'm going to do it. And the great I am is over here going, you know, I have a plan. There, I have a mind for you that you can find out if you're willing to epoxy your britches in a chair. Spend a little time in that, fasting and prayer, seeking the Lord. Because what? He's not obligated to manifest your plan. He's obligated to manifest the Father's plan. Our job is to seek him, find him, hear him, humble ourselves, obey him. Then we're on the path that he has us on. And that's when I am goes with you. I'm going to give you a little preview just for a moment. Go back to Matthew 28. See, I should have had you pinch it. See, we've had the impression like the apostles, they were all to the Jews. And we normally think of Paul being the one commissioned to the Gentiles. Isn't that right? We think that, at least that's the way, because, you know, we have these letters to the Gentile churches, the Galatians, the Ephesians, the Philippians, and so forth. But see, the truth of it is, back there in Matthew 28, he's talking to all the apostles here. And look what he says, verse 19. Go you therefore, now notice, and teach all nations. He didn't say, hole up in Jerusalem and only teach the Jews, did he? No, he says, go, and he's talking to all of them. Not just, Paul, not just, of course, Paul wasn't there right then. No, the commission was go unto all nations. Instead of all nations, what if I said go to the Gentiles? Because that's what it means. Go you to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I went to Wikipedia and just got a short list. Do you know that these disciples, they obeyed him, these apostles. Matthew, that's a book we're reading here, Matthew the apostle, he died in Ethiopia. He carried the gospel to the Gentiles in Ethiopia, killed by a sword. Mark, he was killed in Egypt, city of Alexandria. He was drugged by horses through the streets until he was dead. Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, the beloved physician, Luke, carried the gospel to Greece. He was martyred by hanging. John spent a big part of his life in Ephesus, Patmos, and Rome. They did try to kill him, you know. Boiled him in oil. Couldn't kill the man. He was the only apostle not to be martyred. But Peter, now Peter did spend most of his ministry in Jerusalem. He really did. But he was killed in Rome, crucified upside down. That was his choice. He didn't want to be crucified the same way as his Lord. History tells us that he also crucified his wife that same day. And as they were being led to the slaughter, he turned to his wife and he said, "Live well, woman." No, he said, excuse me, "Die well, woman. Die like you lived." What I'm trying to show you is that these men obeyed the teachings of Jesus. He says, I want you to go to these pagan nations. I want you to go to these places where they worship other gods. And I want you to preach them the truth, the same truth I taught you. I want you to teach it to them. The reaction would be, if we do that, they're going to want to kill us. Yeah? And they did. But they also spread the seeds of the gospel that has brought millions, if not billions, over these centuries into heaven. Let me go ahead and just finish the list for you real quick. James, now he was the leader of the Jerusalem church. He did stay in Jerusalem. He was, you would call him pastor or elder or apostle. But you know how they killed him? You remember when Jesus was tempted by the devil? And one of those three temptations, the devil took him up on the pinnacle of the temple. They literally threw James from the pinnacle of the temple. And it didn't kill him. They had to finish him off with a club. And that's right there in Jerusalem. Nathanael, also known as Bartholomew, he took the gospel to Turkey. He was flayed, F-L-A-Y-E-D, flayed to death by a whip. Andrew, he carried the gospel to Greece, and he was whipped and crucified. Thomas, the one doubting Thomas, he didn't doubt no more. Do you know he carried the gospel to India? India. But he was killed with a spear there. Jude, the brother of Jesus, half-brother of Jesus, he took the gospel to Syria, modern-day Syria, and Armenia, and he was beheaded. Barnabas, Italy, and Cyprus. And he was stoned to death. Of course, you know about Paul, who spread the gospel all over Turkey and Asia Minor and Greece and Ephesus. And eventually he was beheaded in Rome by the evil emperor Nero. Well, I've got a lot to say on that and about this in the coming weeks. Back to Matthew 28. Listen. Whatever it is that he assigns you to do, he has not called you to do it alone. He has called you to do it by his power. He has called you to do it by his grace. We went through that series recently, John 14, 15, 16, and 17. The key to the gospel is Christ in you. He empowers you. His grace empowers you to live the Christian life. If you try and live it on your own, you'll be just as unsuccessful as everybody trying to keep the law. But if you learn how to let him, let's say it this way. Are you the temple of God? Is God the great I am? Then where you go, doesn't God go? Where you go, does I am go? Everywhere you go. And it doesn't matter if your job is to answer the phones here at the church. I am is on the inside of you. He may give you a word of knowledge for that very person calling. It's happened before. He may give you a word of wisdom. He may, whatever it is, he is the one that empowers you. I am. Say it with me. I am with me. I am with me. I am the temple of God. I am the temple of I am. I am with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now think about that this week. When the enemy comes and says you're broke, can't do it, can't live holy, can't pray, can't worship, can't cast out devils, can't pay your bills, he's a liar. The truth is not with him. The truth is not in him. The truth is, I am with you. More than that, I am is in you. And all things are possible. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to go ahead and dismiss you with that. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth of your gospel, Father. Father, we thank you for these wonderful truths. You never intended for us to live this life alone. But you empower us and you go with us to accomplish. It's really you still. It's the Father doing the works. Christ in us and the Father in Christ. Father, that's why all things are possible. All things are possible. Nothing is impossible to us as we believe the truth of your word. Now, Father, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss your people today. Father, I thank you for your hand of blessing upon everyone. Father, cause us to walk in the truth of these things and empower us. In Jesus' name, I pray. And everybody says, amen. If you would like prayer, this would be a time to come and put your toes on the green line. Let me mention this. I don't normally give an altar call, but everyone bow their head just for a moment. Nobody moving around just for a moment. Because normally at this church, I know just about everybody here. One thing about Sue and I, we know what it is to be lost. We know what it is. We were sinners on our way to hell. Didn't even know what was wrong with us. But we know what it is to be lost. Thank God for the day that we bowed the knee and received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. The words are still true. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10, it tells us, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord, you will be saved. If you're here today, or if you're listening by way of the internet, and you don't know for sure that you are in that family, you don't know for sure that you've been born again, you can know, and you can know it right now. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you want him to be your Lord, today is your day. Right now, right where you are. Everyone just repeat this after me. It won't hurt you. Say, Lord, I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. With all of my heart, Lord, I say with my mouth, Jesus, you are my Lord. Save me, Lord. I trust you that I have been born again by the precious seed of your word. Thank you, Lord. I'll be with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.